In the past 2 weeks, North America is in turmoil. Almost 2 weeks ago, a black man, George Floyd, was killed by a policeman. In full view of numerous witnesses in Minneapolis, Minnesota, he died in his plea to breathe. The words, "I can't breathe," resound in our minds again and again. We are angry and yet helpless. More than 10 days of riots and protests rocked the whole North America, including all major cities in Canada, and to a lesser degree, Europe. What does American brutality have anything to do with Canada? Why would there be a riot in Montreal? Some people might ask. Police brutality is not something new. How come the effects spread so far and wide? It's basically spreading all over the world. Hashtag Black Lives Matter movement has been with us since 2013. Since acquittal of George Zimmerman, shooting that of Trayvon Martin. A young black man going about his own business was murdered in broad daylight, caused an uproar. His only crime is wearing a hoodie, but was racially profiled by a gun-carrying self-proclaimed vigilante. Hashtag Black Lives Matter reached its height in 2014 after police shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson. To protest police brutality, we have Colin Kaepernick in 2016, the famous NFL 49er quarterback. His kneeling on one knee during national anthem costed him his career. But he has demonstrated tremendous courage for social justice. But the movement has quieted down and was replaced by the Me Too movement. And only protests here and there for the last 3 years, Kaepernick was not signed by any NFL team ever since, even though he is one of the better quarterbacks in the league. Things were swept under the rug again. Suddenly, all hell broke loose when George Floyd was killed amid the deadly pandemic. It is understandably, during the pandemic, black or the colored has the highest death rate, the highest infection rate, the least medical attention. Police brutality with George Floyd placed a catalyst to bring up this long-standing social injustice. Some long-standing racial justice activists have indicated that racial discrimination is obvious and blatant, especially when the leaders are not condemning racial injustice. Canadian racial discrimination is subtle. We just denied it. We denied existence and we practice it in our various practices. Beneath the death of George Floyd, the extreme imbalance of power and extreme imbalance of wealth distribution is brought forth. Now, right in the forefront, we can see the imbalance of power because of police brutality. Black men, young black men, are killed by police. It was a sad joke that said, "Who should be afraid of the police when you are young and black?" This is not something we can really comprehend or control. Why would we have to discriminate those people who are different from us? As a matter of fact, we are living under this huge social injustice. Even Justin Trudeau wore a brown face in 2001. Do you think he has changed in 20 years? I have no answer. But I do know racial discrimination is entrenched in us. And it is evil. Since this is an evil of our own social structure, after 100 days of lockdown, things just got exploded. All frustrations are poured out all at the same time. People have been pressured first by a long-standing injustice, then by a 100-day-long pandemic, which is partially the inept policies of global leaders. In many sense, many have felt we are just the innocent victims of all these. This is the sentiment in the history of the Bible. Joseph is one of the most innocent victims except Jesus. He is considered the type of Jesus who has been wronged, who was framed. Joseph's life exemplifies the innocent die for sinners. He was sold for the sin of his brothers. But he has overcome evil with goodness, with the help of God. His suffering has brought the salvation of a nation. He was sold to Egypt and subsequently saved his whole clan. His continuous suffering exemplifies how good can triumph over evil by being the loyal follower of God. We shall read the Joseph story and take a piece of it to learn about this world's suffering through his own ups and downs of life. Yes. And from this is the passage we have today. In chapter 39 of Genesis, a few words and phrases have occurred repeatedly. The Lord was with Joseph, verses 2, 3, 21, 23. That is, that he prosper in his hands, and or similar construction, verses 2, 3, and 23. The Lord bless on behalf of Joseph, or similar construction, verses 5 and 21. We can see the formula. The Lord blesses because of Joseph occurred in two places, the beginning of the passage and the end of the passage. In between this formula is the story. The story is to explain how Joseph has blessed himself and people around him. Interesting enough, the story, however, gives us an impression that Joseph was again and again being accused of something he has not done. He was clearly not so blessed before he was blessed again. We can see the cycle. Then he was wronged, and then he was done in by evil, and then he was blessed. And then when he was blessed, and he is done in by evil again. There are two cycles in this story. Now we shall take a bird's eye view of chapter 39. Joseph was sold to an Egyptian captain, and he is the captain of Pharaoh's bodyguard, Potiphar. It has actually repeated the last words of chapter 37 in order to bring back the narrative to the main body of the story. We may remember chapter 38 is actually a digression beyond Joseph's story. So it's from chapter 37 and then jump to 39. Verses 1 to 6 describe how God has blessed Joseph in the midst of a tragic phase of his life. He was betrayed by his brothers, somebody whom he should trust. God has made the best out of Joseph's suffering. This is a time of going from evil to good. Joseph was sold to Egypt because of fault not of his own, but evil jealousy of his brothers. Then became a slave. From the prince of his father to become a slave of an Egyptian. But God opened a window for him in the darkness of his life. It shone some light from the end of the tunnel. That's how I call it, from evil to good. But then we come to verses 6b to 18. The scenario changed rapidly. Joseph fell back into the hands of evil. Again, verses 18 to 23 shows us how Joseph returned from an evil grip to the good hand of God. Verses 19 to 20 is from evil to good again. Within one chapter, we can discover two cycles of evil to good and good to evil. The story realistically portrays the uncertainty of life. Nothing is normal and nothing is permanent. We cannot expect life is going to be normal. Normal is always the new normal. As we think we have achieved some sort of normal life change. A prince in the eyes of his father, Joseph lived in bliss and he took it for granted. Then he was continually betrayed. As we have mentioned, the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord's blessing is with Joseph. This is the theme of the chapter. The Lord is with Joseph, and the Lord's blessing follow Joseph. But we may not be able to understand how Joseph was blessed with God's presence. How? How so? We may not even know how Joseph's mistress fit into Joseph's blessing. We can see Joseph's resistance of temptation is not the reason why Joseph was blessed, for Joseph has been blessed by the Lord from day one. He was not blessed after he has resisted temptation. He was blessed before that. As we read more carefully the narrative, we can begin to see the reason more clearly. We may notice the simple and direct seduction. There's only one word. Come sleep with me. But then, the lengthy speech from Joseph. Let us read together Joseph's answer to his mistress. I cannot see. Maybe I can, you read it by yourself. It's too small for me. From Joseph's speech, he has shown tremendous loyalty to both his master and God. However, we may not know whether this loyalty comes from his own character or there is another reason. If we look at it from the opposite angle, the blessing and presence of God causes him to be loyal to God. It seems to us God's presence and Joseph's loyalty are intertwined. So Joseph is loyal to God, so he has God's presence. Or there's God's presence. Joseph is loyal to God. I do believe the text wants to tell us this is intertwined. We may say Joseph's loyalty is the reason why God is with him. Or we may say God's presence makes Joseph all the more loyal. From one angle, Joseph remains to be loyal in spite of his unfavorable circumstances. From the other angle, God is with us no matter what the world has thrown to us. And God continues to build us up no matter what. One thing we are certain, even with God's care, we are not immune from temptation and trials. Temptation and trials came at the most inopportune time, in the most unexpected time. Joseph, he has God's presence, for the Lord is with him. And he has Lord's blessing, so that he is blessing other people too. But it doesn't stop. Trials and temptations comes. But for those who are loyal to God, despite of calamitous circumstances, God will still bless us and stay with us. This is the message. God's presence won't take away our trials and temptation. It will not take away what the world will throw to us. Even if the world has thrown us a curveball, God is still with us. In the real world, loyal to God is not an easy task. It's much easier to take a shortcut. Take a careful look at Joseph's situation. Succumbing to his mistress' demand seems to be much more beneficial. When both the master and the mistress are behind my back, Joseph is going to be so much more powerful. When his mistress asks him the first time, he may hesitate. But after so many times when nobody is in sight, the passage tells us when nobody is in the house, he is pretty sure nobody would know. It is not only a seduction of sexual desire, it is also a seduction of power. Judging from Joseph's reply, there is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you. The master has withheld nothing from Joseph except the master's wife. If Joseph gave in to his mistress' request, he did not only satisfy his desire, he would also secure a greater power. Joseph has all the power in the household except it echoed Adam and Eve. God told Adam and Eve, of all the fruits in the garden, you can eat except this fruit of knowledge. No, the fruit that may make you to know what is good and evil. For good and evil is reserved. For knowing good and evil is reserved for God. For Potiphar's wife is reserved for Potiphar. Man come to God. God gave him everything except. Potiphar came to Joseph, I give you everything except. When man wanted to be like God, he took the fruit. When Joseph wanted to be like his master, he would have taken his wife. For the exception the master will hold on to is no longer in the hand of his master if Joseph agreed to the proposal of his mistress. Yet, Joseph has decided to run, leaving his clothes behind. Do we still remember Joseph was deprived of his robe and was sold to Egypt? From good to evil, he left his robe behind. Again, he lost his robe in the hand of his adversary, his mistress. Nobody will report how Joseph reveals his mistress' seduction, for nobody was in the house. However, his mistress has his robe in her hand to frame him. God is with Joseph, around Joseph, in Joseph's heart. His loyalty to God extends to his loyalty to his master. For Joseph trusts in God, and his trust was shown in his deeds. He's willing to give up more power and be himself, and stay to be Joseph. He stayed to be Joseph instead of becoming Potiphar. He's willing to give up more power and be himself. Joseph stood as he should stand. Joseph did what he should do, the deeds he was called to do and the person he was called to be. When God called us, or when God created Adam and Eve, God called us to be who we are, human being. God calls us to be who we are, just human being. We are not supposed to be like God. When Joseph was called to be the servant of Potiphar, he remains his servant. This is what his calling. As we look around us, when the circumstances seem to be all evil, and we are only by ourselves, by oneself, we may give in our principle easily. When nobody is looking, it's much easier if somebody is watching over me that I won't sin as easily. But if I know nobody would know me, would know that I'm sinning, that it's so much more easier to sin. Especially when the time is difficult, it gives us all the more excuses to sin. Now nobody is in the house. So, maybe this is the time. This is the opportunity. On one side, there is a seduction of power, and on the other side, it's a seduction of our desires. The only thing left for us is our loyalty to God, for there is nothing we can count on or account to. Joseph's answer is the key. He insisted to be loyal to himself and stay who he is. He is withheld. He has withheld nothing from me except you. He did not step beyond his boundary and remain Potiphar's personal attendant. He did not usurp his master's right by jumping onto Potiphar's bed. The greater the pressure, Joseph holds on to his identity all the more tighter, for he trusted this is what he should be. Joseph has no Bible to follow at his time, but he holds on to the fact that the God is the God of his, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He trusted in the God in the God who is the God of his grandfather, his great grandfather, grandfather, and father. Yes, the world is tumultuous. What shall I do? I would say we stay true of who we are and what we are. If God calls us into action, let's be the activist. If God called us to sound our trumpet, let's stand up and tell the world what is justice. But if God has called us to work among people, to comfort them, to care about them, we'll just do the same. For in Micah 6:8, God always asks us to practice justice, to have mercy, walk with God humbly. If God has called us to practice justice, let's do it. But if God has called you to have mercy for those who are sick and downtrodden, let's do it. If I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor, I'll be doing my pastor's things. We are called to be ourselves. We are called to be truthful, loyal, and good to the one who called us. Be pure. Follow God. We do not give in to evil, even though evil can come handily. The pull from evil is strong, but we shall not succumb. And we shall not succumb to the seduction of this world. Why do we need to have riots? Because riots gave us a shortcut. I'm not against all riots, but most of the time it only gives violence, only gives us a shortcut. That's exactly the shortcut to power. Joseph was faced with a choice of a shortcut to power or the way he should be. Brothers and sisters, this is a tumultuous time. Most likely, we do not know how to face how to deal with the time. Sometimes we will find it helpless. But yet again, stay true. Stay true who we are as a Christian, as sons and daughters of God. Be loyal to God. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for bringing us all here. This is a time that the world is changing. And it is very likely that the world is not changing to our liking. We are going to face a world with economic downturn. We are going to face a world that is filled with fear. And we are going to face a world which has a structural injustice. God, call us to be your servant, to serve you in our own lives, to serve you in the way you have called us to be. But yet we do not go beyond our boundary. We stay true to who we are and what we are. We do not pretend we can save this world. We just follow you. Trust in you in every step of our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.